Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 335 of Mike White's podcast. I'm Jack, as always, joined by KC.
Good morning.
How's things, mate?
Yes, it's. I know we've done early podcasts before, but this is down there.
Yeah. I mean, unsurprisingly, we will have one person watching live. Maybe. Yeah, doing this at 9:15 in the morning because it's the only chance we're going to get, really. And speaking of things where we took the only chances we got, Leeds at Man City. That's not fair, actually. We had a couple. Leeds lost 3-2, which, if it had been two games into the season, you'd be coming away from going, oh, there was quite a lot of promise in that.
Yeah, promise doesn't really cut it at the moment, does it?
No.
It was very much a game of two halves in our case, because first half we failed to lay a glove on them, really.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I was concerned, and I was wrong, the game was over at halftime. It was interesting because Farke made a big thing of conceding goals from the left-hand side and then changed the left-hand side completely. Justin came in for Goodmanson at left-back. Nonto came in on the left wing. And we conceded the same goal again after 58 seconds. When you watch it back, Justin and Nonto get done by a good bit of movement. It's not... Nonto works hard defensively, but he's not the best defender. But he'll always put himself in, but he slightly overcommits. He gets, but I think he would have probably got done even if he didn't, considering how far away from him Nunez got. But then after that, this is the bit that actually worries me more still. If you don't include Justin and Nonto, who were wide, they've already been caught out. Not including them, Leeds have 7 players in the box. Man City have Doku, who is properly marked. Haaland, who Roden is close enough to that you could say I think if the ball had got to Haaland, Roden would have got there. And Foden, who is... and. Actually, just play the clip from the Forest podcast. Unmarked, centre goal.
Yeah.
And there's 3 players around it and just no one picks him up. And, you know, I'm sure that he's stopped his run and dropped off and given himself a yard. You know, the movement can be good, but, when you've that many players around, you shouldn't be able to get a clear shot from that position.
Yeah, it was... Like you say, it's really disappointing. It's the Sunday League. Right, lads, away at City. Nothing daft here. Mm. Keep it tight early on. Like you say, it was, as I said in the last podcast, you know, it was very much, you know, it seemed to me that, yes, he was having a go. The crosses were coming in from the left-hand side. But Farke made no comment on the sheer absence of any marking when they have scored from crosses and balls across the penalty area this season. You know, no mention of his holding midfielders, for example.
Yeah, it's a good goal from the City end, but there's things that we can do better. And it's the same one again. Like, if we just conceded that goal and we hadn't been conceding that goal over and over again beforehand, I wouldn't worry about it so much. But it was all Man City. Leeds, as we expected, did go 4-3-3, despite, I was going to say, our protestations, but let's be right, half fan base. Everyone wasn't happy with straight 4-3-3. There were just different people had different ideas of what to do, but no one wanted this. Because we also had Gruev for Longstaff, who was injured now for a few weeks, and Tanaka for Stack, who is probably out for Chelsea as well. I think he is definitely out for Chelsea as well, because I think he's got to do the full 12 days.
I think it came down. I can't remember. Was it that he had to do a test on Sunday?
Yeah, and I think
see whether he had to miss the Chelsea game or not.
Yeah, but I think even from that test, if you pass that test, there's a certain number of days.
Hmm.
So I think he's probably out of that. It was all Man City. They could have probably had more. James Justin made a couple of brilliant blocks. Gore made a really good one as well. And then, again, the second goal, you're against a really good team. You want them to do something good, and it's just a corner in, and the keeper goes to punch it and makes a bit of a mess of it.
Yeah. Like I say, a few people have made a lot about kind of the pushing beforehand, but it's, I think Perry clears him out before the ball's really got to him. And I just don't think he deals with it very well. Which, like you say, is a shame because he had made some decent saves.
Yeah, he made some. He was better in this game, I thought, except for this moment, which was really poor. Because you don't even need to get a great punch on it, just get something. And he just gets no on it. There is a little bit of bad luck in this, which is just a bit of one of those butterfly effect sort of ones. Because that corner comes from the really good save he makes from Foden. And if that goes in, it's all fine, because Foden was 5 yards offside.
Mm.
And if Perry just doesn't make a good save and it goes in, we don't concede a goal, which is a weird thing to say.
A different phase of play, mate. There's nothing you can do about it at that stage. But yeah, obviously disappointing. One of the things I did, I think obviously the terrified part of us, I don't know if you went so far as to do it, but I dare say there'll be quite a few people who triple captained Haaland this weekend.
Guilty.
But we
kind of did it to jinx him, forgetting, of course, that he doesn't try against Leeds.
Yeah.
I know he scored two in a game. Was it Elland Road, that one? But even then, he missed some sitters. And he clearly doesn't want to try against us.
Yeah. Him and Jermaine Beckford.
He's not Beckford levels. He doesn't maybe harm his own team like Beckford sort of did.
Yeah. I mean, the times where we seem to be doubling up on Haaland in the hope of just, no, stop him. Just everyone watch him. For the most part, we did restrict Erling Haaland to a fairly quiet game.
Yeah, I mean, he had like a couple of shots, but none that were really dangerous. It's like the one thing that you could say in the first half, we did well. And that continued in the second half. Morning, Ali, by the way, I've just seen your message. It sort of feels a bit weird because he has made the halftime changes that I was quite happy with. I mean, he pulled off James and Nonto phrasing, which before the game, there were a lot of people going, I think that he has thrown them in for this game so that when it goes badly, he can justify playing Aronson in the next game. And that sort of happened. However, he finally did the thing. I mean, I'd love to say he finally fucking listened to me. But it's not just me. It's a load of people. James and Nonto off. Beall, Calvert-Lewin. 3-5-2. Go long at the big guy. And wouldn't you know it, if you knock long balls up to like two forwards, so you've got someone who can win it, but even if they don't win it, there's someone around them to go for that second ball. All of a sudden, even really good players can get forced into errors. And because we had even 5 seconds of keeping the ball up there, the midfield gets a chance to move up. You can press with a little bit of structure. You can actually... And that's what the first goal is. Leeds pressing well. They pass it, admittedly, straight to us. It was... I think Nunes does the pass, gives it away. Tanaka plays a good through ball for Calvert-Lewin. It's quite a difficult touch because he's got a spin, slightly too much on it, but Nunes just gives him it straight back.
I would say it's Bergkamp-esque.
Yeah. It's a deliberate 1-2 off Nunes, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
a good finish as well.
Yeah, it's a poacher's finish, isn't it? That just the awareness.
It's one you should take, but he's missed a few of them.
Yeah. I mean, one, like I said, I think it was a good touch into the penalty area. He's closed down pretty quickly, and it's just... If you are a Man City fan, I imagine you're just looking going, yeah, why didn't you just put that out? Or just curl it wide or something, just anything. No, just I'm going to loop around in my own penalty area and Calvert-Lewin just stabs it off him into the corner.
Yeah, just in his rally, I think he made the changes just to prove us all wrong and it backfired because we were right. I mean, yeah, sort of. But yeah, we, in this second half, it was... You know, it wasn't like it was pretty stuff. But in the first half, we still, and I cannot believe he tried to play his way out from the back against Man City. But then again, I couldn't believe he did it against Arsenal. So I suppose it's on me for not believing it. The equalising goal is the exact thing that everyone's been on about. Because it's a good long ball from Perry towards Calvert-Lewin. But Calvert-Lewin doesn't even have to actually win that ball. He ends up in a position where he can just leave it because Bogle has bombed up like fuck down the right-hand side, which he can do because there's an extra centre-back behind him. It just frees him up to have that room. Good header through for Calvert-Lewin. And Gvardiol, I mean, I've no idea what he's doing. He just completely wipes him out. I know he kicks the ball about 3 seconds later.
That was one of my favourite instances of pointing at the football.
Yeah.
It's like, look, I touched the ball. Like, yeah, but you have already gone through Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah, it was the sign of a defence that was panicking. They weren't expecting this sort of battle and this having going up against Calvert-Lewin and Metro at the same time really seemed to cause some panic for them. Like, I've seen some people arguing for a red card for this, and I wouldn't have given one. But you could, it was such a poor tackle that you could argue he wasn't making an attempt to win the ball.
He's so far away from, like, it's the ball is past him when he makes the challenge.
Yeah, like you could. It isn't an unreasonable argument to argue for it. I am far more annoyed at Bernardo Silva not getting sent off for that blatant dive when he was already on a yellow. Yeah. That was a much worse decision than this one. But before the goal itself, did you notice the thing immediately after the penalty is given?
No.
Tanaka is a very lucky boy. He misses an open goal, basically.
Oh, yeah. he just spooned that one a bit.
Yeah. Like, it's a good job it got given. And the thing is, if he puts that in, we're going... I mean, even though it ends up going in, if Tanaka scores, we're going mental at the ref for not playing on.
Yeah.
Because I have to be honest, when Metcher stepped up to take that penalty, they flashed up, depending on where you watched this and stuff like that. Because obviously, none of us watched it live, it being a Saturday 3 o'clock game. But they have flashed up Metcher's like last five penalties. And I think three of them were the penalty he ended up taking. One was an off target and one was like down the middle. And I did look at it and go, ooh, I don't think I fancy him here. And he did hit the penalty with not that much power, exactly where he always does, just less in the corner than he did against Everton. Fortunately, Donnarumma makes a good save, but straight back to him to give him like the easiest of tap-ins that you could ever have.
Yeah, it was a well-worked routine. The saving grace is I think when that was saved, I started coming back to him. Just probably thinking he might put this over. This is a bouncing ball.
I didn't panic at all on the rebound. I didn't fancy him for that penalty. I don't know what. I don't really know why. I just, you know, when you just get that feeling.
Yeah.
He's not scoring this.
It was one of those. It was a very savable height. It was not close enough to the corner, nor powerful enough.
Yeah.
But at least you got the bounce. So
yeah. It's the sort of thing that happens to forwards who. Because, I mean, he's in decent form at the minute, but he's in goal-scoring form at the minute. I know that he scored in this game, but if that had been Calvert-Lewin 2 weeks ago, there's no way that rebound falls back to him.
No.
It misses him by a yard. Mm. back to 2-2, which, I mean, nobody could believe, I think it's fair to say. And, honestly, although they did have... you know, the vast majority of the game. I didn't really think for that, like, next 20 minutes. It didn't feel like we were in much trouble.
No, we very much...
Like, they definitely had the best of it, but it didn't feel really panicked about like that.
Yeah, I mean, it eventually becomes the low block. It just... 11 men defending 25-30 yards from their goal. Obviously they're getting bodies forward as well. again, there was quite a few crosses coming in that we mostly dealt with.
Yeah, they had a couple of shots from the edge that Perry saved fairly well. It was like, yeah, they had it, but I wasn't too panicked. And then it's sort of weird. There are things about their winning goal that aren't great defensively. But I do think that I have to put like 90% of this down to Foden's really good.
Hmm.
Like, when he gets the ball, he beats Ampadu, and Ampadu kind of pulls out and doesn't really make a tackle. But if he thinks he's going to mistime it, I can sort of understand that, because if he gives away a penalty, that's, you know, even though it's against Leeds, Haaland's not missing.
Yeah.
Even though, has he missed one against us before? I feel like he might have. And then, like, Tanaka doesn't really get there either, but it's a good finish. Perry's no chance with it, really. The bit that I did find a bit more annoying was, have you seen, like, have you watched the last goal back?
I think, so kind of when you see it from the main camera, there is the section where, obviously, it's gone to our left-hand side, obviously. And I think when I first saw it, I kind of noticed Tanaka was outside the area, not really doing anything.
Yeah, he's the guy sort of marking the edge.
Hmm.
Which, because I've basically, when that pass, I sort of paused it as the pass to Foden goes. Leeds have 11 men back.
Yeah.
Foden has 5 or more yards of space in every direction in the penalty area. That's the bit. What he does from there is really good, but that was a bit soft. And I have either Tanaka has to go across and hope Okafor's switched on enough to drop in, or Calvert-Lewin is stood 5 yards wrong side. But he's also a striker. He probably isn't thinking, I need to drop to 14 yards out.
Yeah.
And he was also outstanding when he came on.
I was going to say, because their centre-backs were in our half at this point.
They were basically on the edge of the box.
Yeah, so Calvert-Lewin is out there.
Yeah.
Whether it's a moment of switching off or, like you say, I think in terms of the actual finish itself, it is a fantastic finish to be able to see that shot on from the angle he was at as well. I just thought he was a really good finisher, a really good player.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I would look at, not directly about the goal, the subs we made towards the end, I thought were interesting. Like, Metcher, I sort of understood him coming off. I don't know if in that situation Okafor is the person I would be bringing on.
Yeah. Well, I quite liked that sub, and I'd have probably made it 5 minutes earlier. They were pushing up so much. And I think that we had a legitimate chance to catch him on the counter. And as James had already gone off, I think our best option for that was Okafor. So I actually think, it's rare for me to defend Farker, but I don't think that was the worst idea. And I think the Metcher was knackered as well.
I think Metcher had to come off. I think he was knackered. I was a little bit surprised, one, that Aronson wasn't the one put in that role.
I could have seen that, yeah.
To chase that down. The other one, I'm a little bit surprised it wasn't Jack Harrison, because I think defensively, one, he's further away from the penalty area than where he last was. But I think defensively, you probably get a bit more out of him than you do Okafor. But like I say, I don't think that change contributed to the goal at all.
No, I mean, Okafor is the furthest one away of everyone from the action. As I say, it was a shame. Can we actually take anything out of this? At this stage, I suppose it depends if he learns his lessons, because obviously we came away from the Bournemouth game, I mean, drawn 2-2, and we were really disappointed because we should have won that game. But we were saying, but knocking the ball long up to Calvert-Lewin, it really worked. Hopefully this will make Fark see that this works. And then he just didn't do it again. So it's whether he takes any lessons from this or not.
Yeah, I mean, I liked that structure of two centre forwards and a 10, and just having Tanaka sort of buzzing around in behind those two. Because like you say, all of a sudden now, when you play a long ball, there are always one or two people up there in support. And that, yeah. And that's the problem with the 4-3-3 is that you have someone who, either in Metro or Calvert-Lewin, who you can play off of, but there's never anyone close enough to do it. And yeah. There's only so good and so long you can hold the ball up for.
And when he was doing it with Aronson was having to go inside to do it. So you didn't have the structure when you did win the ball.
Yeah, and with this system as well, you know, I did, like you say, Bogle was getting up and down really well.
I thought he was excellent, by the way, in this game. I thought he was really good, Bogle.
Yeah, I think for all the talk of the difficulties on the left-hand side, I'm trying to think of a game where I think there's probably a couple of the game, like the Forest game, where I didn't think anyone played particularly well. Mm. But outside of that, I don't think there's a game where I've come away thinking Bogle hasn't played well, like specifically.
Yeah, he hasn't had any like really bad game. He wasn't great against Brighton, but none of them were.
Yeah. Whereas I think recently, I thought he did quite well against Villa, and I thought it looked even better for having Dan James in front of him.
Yeah.
I thought he had a fantastic game because we spoke about him having to deal with Doku for that game, and again, for the most part, it dealt with it fine.
Yeah, like I mean, Doku did get past him a couple of times, but he's going to get past people sometimes. He's a really good dribbler. But yeah, I thought that Doku, as much as I like Bogle, I thought Doku would probably have him on toast a bit, to be honest, and he didn't.
Yeah. And so the one thing, as much as you now have play, you know, a team where you've got Okafor, James, Nonto, that you may struggle to get into this team if you stick with the 3-5-2. I'm not really that bothered about it as long as it gets results.
Yeah, I like this structure.
And it means you've got your three centre backs, you've got two holding mids, and especially when it's Ampadu and Gruev, you know they're not going far anyway.
Yeah.
Frees up Tanaka a lot more to get forward. And I would imagine for the most part, whichever side it's going down, that fullback is or that wing back is going to bomb on a bit, and both Bogle, Justin and Goodmanson as well, they can all do it.
Yeah, like I was surprised at the Justin for Goodmanson change. I really didn't see that coming. But I thought James Justin did really well.
Yeah, I thought he had a good game. I don't know whether it was a concern, because I do think he went down at one point in the second half, if I remember rightly, James Justin.
It was, I think, an injury change, that one.
Yeah, so I don't know if it was the hope is it was more of a precautionary thing than anything else. Although I will say, for all of Farke's criticisms, good player to be able to bring on.
Yeah, like I think I would rather play Goodmanson if we're playing the three, but I'm happy with both. It's the reason that I liked Justin as a side. When we decided, I was like, well, it's a good fullback that can play both sides. And I did also say Andy can play as a centre-back in a three.
Yeah.
Because he's done that a lot as well. I think he's a very good player for us to have. He's useful in this role. I'm just trying to, like, obviously, because it's the full match, I'd probably give it Bogle. But I thought for 45 minutes, Calvert-Lewin, that was what you want. That's what we were hoping for when we signed him. That is, was it his best? It was his best game in the league, I reckon.
Yeah, I think so.
And he's had some really good ones just without the finishing.
Yeah, it was just really nice to see us have an outlet, because I think a lot of it otherwise has been give it to the left hand side and hope they do something. Mm. Whereas, like you say, it just gives us that opportunity to get a bit higher up the pitch just to get your defence out. It was not. You've got Strouk, you've got Bornau and Rodon, who can all play those passes to get.
Well, we don't know if Bornau can do anything yet.
Bornau, sorry, Bial.
Bornau, as far as I'm concerned, because I've blanked that Sheffield Wednesday game out of my head, I don't think he exists, really.
Is he the season's Isaac Schmidt?
Yeah, he just is. I've heard tell of such a man. I don't know if he really exists.
Yeah. But you've got those three centre-backs can all play those passes to a decent degree of accuracy. You know, none of the three of them are just hoofing it up there. You know, this is it's not hoofball. I haven't thought about hoofball in a while.
Best square ball cover ever.
But yeah, it makes all the sense in the world to do this against Chelsea now.
Which brings me on to the next question. Willie.
I'd really like to think so. I'm actually going to back him this time and say yes.
Yeah. I mean, they'll be 4-2-3-1. Caicedo got sent off, so he won't be playing. And Reece James, who was unbelievable, by the way, against Arsenal, without having 10 men. He was so good. But he's already said he played 90 minutes, then he can't play it again Wednesday. So he'll be on the bench at most.
Yeah.
Which, because honestly, he was so good. But other than that, their team, their squad is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Although, I don't rate Robert Sanchez at all. I know he makes big saves as well, but he's a proper, if you get shots away, there's a very good chance that he'll make a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at their bench at the moment, and when you're looking at, obviously, Cole Palmer is coming back to fitness.
He was expected to be fit for us.
Yeah.
But you'd think they wouldn't start him against us. It's probably not worth the risk.
No, you've got Garnacho. Again, I don't think they'll start him, but you've got Liam Delap.
Yeah, they'll probably... I suppose it depends if they really want to get us, because they could play, they could start the lap and play João Pedro at 10.
Yeah. I mean, the flexibility in that team.
They might well do that, actually, because with Caicedo being out and James not being fit, they might drop Enzo Fernandez deeper.
Yeah.
And if he plays in the midfield too. That's of it. Yeah, just on the subject you're on about with. Ali saying that Bornau played middle of the back three at Wolfsburg and was calm on the ball, good first. I'm sure he did, but I'm still not sure he exists, mate. I think he might have been playing Football Manager or something, because this Bornau guy.
Sounds like a regen to me.
Yeah, he could be anyone.
Him and John Body Slam.
Yeah. God, I wish you had the image of that somewhere.
I think I do. I will dig that one out.
Jod Body Slam is the best region now. to Chelsea. They can rotate loads of this. Cucurella, obviously, he was brilliant at Brighton, and then he had a bit of a shaky start at Chelsea, but he's now one of the best left-backs in the world. He's defensively outstanding. Did you see the job that he did on Lamine Yamal? He just didn't give him a second. It was so good.
Yeah.
Right back will probably be Malo Gusto again. Centre-backs, they've got about 9. It was Fofana and Chalobah last time out, and they defended pretty well, so if they're fit, they'll probably stay in. But we've got, Tosin, Adebayo, Badiashile. They've got others as well. Who else have they got their centre-backs? They've about 500 of them, haven't they?
This is all the ones that aren't dead to them.
Yeah, I mean, even that young lad, that Josh Achampong, looks pretty good. Just haven't seen as much of him.
Yeah.
That's the other one. They signed that Joel Hatto, the young left-sided one from Ajax, who's, meant to be the next big thing, but they've got 7 of them as well. It'll probably then be Enzo Fernandez and Andre Santos as the 2. Then I think it'll be Pedro at 10, Delap up top, and then wingers. It was Estevao and Garnacho last time. So probably Pedro Neto. One of them and Pedro Neto. I'll probably say that the won't fancy Estevao potentially getting kicked about by us. So I think it'll be Garnacho and Pedro Neto.
Yeah, it's just depths that you can only ever dream of. This is the longest, by the way, when you just going off their Google page, this is definitely the longest squad list I think I've seen.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I say, there are players on this list I'm just looking at. Oh, yeah,
he's there.
Just wait for us to try and sign Raheem Sterling in
January. I can say Sterling's still there. He's not registered for the Premier League, so he's not.
I did start putting this to Alex at one point, saying that I thought we might go in for him. But I did also remember that last year he said he was only going to go on. He was only ever going to go to a club in London. So
yeah, he don't want to move.
No,
and so, you know what? Fair enough. It's not his fault. It's not his fault that they gave him like a 5-year deal on $400,000 a week or whatever it is.
In all fairness, he was 24 when they gave it to him. So
yeah, like. I mean, there is a little bit that must have been in the head of he might drop off a bit earlier than other players because he has been playing week in, week out since he was 16. But not all James Milner.
God, he's 30.
Yeah, he's like, oh, God.
He's still only 30.
He's meant to be in his prime. Yeah. Yeah, I just look at that team. If we try and play our way out against that, we're going to be in serious shit. Get two up top. It doesn't necessarily have to be both big lads. You could play Calvert-Lewin and Okafor, and I don't think that's a bad idea. You could even play Calvert-Lewin and Nonto, and I don't think it's a bad idea.
Hmm.
But Calvert-Lewin and someone, based on how good he was when he came on. Which is weird to say, because like you probably will pick both, because Metcher's got what, 3-3? So you're probably going to leave them in and play them both, which is absolutely fine. I think it means that like Gruev and Ampadu are going to have good games. And Ampadu's due one. I wonder if being against his old club might help.
Yeah, you'd hope so. I'm just trying to think. Obviously, kind of potential changes is depending on how James Justin is.
I think it'll be Goodmanson this time. Because even if Justin's all right, he isn't the guy that you want to be playing loads of games back to back.
Yeah, Farquhar, to be fair, is always fairly cautious when it comes to not playing. He did it with Solomon a fair few times at the start of last season, didn't he? Where it was just like, no, I don't need to play him 3 games in a week.
Yeah, he did actually mention it before the Man City game that there'll be more rotation this week because it's 3 times in a week.
Yeah. The other side of it as well is I don't think Bogle will be one of the ones to drop out. I think
no,
he will
Bogle,
play.
He definitely stays in.
But he's one of the ones I could look. I do look at and think, if you had to, I could see Dan James playing there.
I could see Dan James playing there if we're losing and there's 15 minutes left.
Hmm.
I can't. If he ever started in there, I'd be very surprised. But you know, we'll say the. Yeah, I think Goodmanson will come back in for Justin. We haven't got any fit midfielders, so I can't see that changing. It's just the way the setup will if it's a back three.
No,
this would be going before the match happens, so we could be wrong. But if that team lineup comes out and it's 4-3-3 with Aronson on the right wing, if Leeds go 1-0 down, it's going to turn.
Yeah.
Because everyone will be like set up ready to be pissed off.
Looking, thinking, but you found the answer.
Yeah.
You did the right thing. Like, why? So yeah, I like you said, there aren't many changes you can make to this team. I think it will be I would absolutely go with Metcher and Calvert-Lewin.
I think if he plays 3-5, if he plays 3-5-2, we will do, I think.
Yeah.
And the one thing with their centre backs are really good, but if it's both of them, like you could see us being able to like give their centre backs a bit of a torrid time in that, and it would be 2v2.
Yeah.
So you only need one good moment, and all of a sudden you've got space, you've got chance to do something.
Yeah. It's just that hope that we can carry that second half and the City game into this. And so I did say, like, it's I'm still not off the Farker will go train just yet.
No, I still think, even if we play the right formation, I think that we probably get beaten these two games and he gets sacked.
I don't know. I've sat down. I'm in my seat again on the train.
Yeah.
I'm still prepared to get off. I'm giving it a little bit longer. If we start 4-3-3, I'm standing by the doors.
Yeah.
I'm getting the hammer for the emergency exit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you know, can we carry some momentum from that second half into this game? Make it difficult for Chelsea, create some chances, and somewhat play to our strengths.
Yeah, that's what we've got to hope for. I'll have to tweet out the predictions because I haven't gotten back of everyone else yet. But we can do ours. Despite, I think we will go 3-5-2, and I think that we will be better for it, I'm still going 2-1 loss.
1-1 draw.
Or 11-1, as I just put in the sheet.
You know what? No.
Yeah, I'll tweet out the predictions of everyone else if I remember, which I should, but I can't promise anything. Yeah, so it does seem that, like, everyone... If it wasn't for that second half, I think everyone would have been saying, oh, we'll get beat 4-0.
Yeah.
And that second half has just given people enough hope that maybe we can get something. And if you put in a good performance here, and if you can, like, nick a point or something, all of a sudden, I think the atmosphere for that Liverpool game is going to be really whipped up because they've been shit.
Yeah.
But if we lose this, I think the opposite happens. I think everyone's like, oh, we don't matter. Yeah. Everyone will just be waiting for the corner flag after the game.
Yeah. What's the point?
Yeah. So that'll do us for episode 335 of Mighty White's podcast. We'll be back. I don't know what work is. We'll have to try and fit something in Thursday or Friday. They're not great days for us work-wise, ever.
Yeah, we could make it work.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. Anyway, I've been Jack. See ya.
I'm Casey. Have a good one.
In a bit.